and complete dependence. Dear friends, upon the Lord to open up the sacred word to us. I would ask your prayerful attention this morning by way of a text to the chapter we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and in particular verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. The 16th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Dear friends, this is one of the many godly exhortations we read in the Old and of the New Testament. And his word is to be a lamp to our feet, doesn't it? A light to our pathway. Would you take heed to these exhortations which are laid down? Although many of them, many thousands of years gone by. But the word of God never changes. There's a purpose, there's a reason for all the exhortations, commands, and statutes of the Lord. There's a reason for this one. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. What does verse 12 say? And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. That's the great commandment which Jesus himself spoke, wasn't it, to the Jews, when he was asked, what is the great commandment of all? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, to serve the Lord thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And dear friends, that all thy heart has to be a circumcised heart. Circumcised, what is that? That's a removal of a surplus flesh, a cutting away of that which from our hearts is the love of earthly things, of fleshly things, things of our nature, which do not honour God. It doesn't mean to say we should hate our own flesh. We should hate our own selves. It doesn't mean to say we should hate the world. God hath created the world, hasn't he? He has made it beautiful. And we enjoy the beauties of God's creation. And we are to continually thank the Lord for all that he hath provided for our food, our drink, our comforts, and in ourselves, our health and strength, our faculties, our senses. And friends, those are the things which we're to thank God for. But oh, how solemn that we are stiff-necked people, determined in our own hearts, in our own minds, to go our own way, to despise the things of God, the things of his word, hard hearts, unthankful hearts, living only for the good of ourselves and for the enjoyments of sins which predominate in this world where Satan's seat is. How easily we can be enticed and enter into the things which are contrary to the word, transgressions under the law of God, grieving of his spirit, a stiff-necked people, determined to go our own way, ruled by the lusts of our own flesh and our own self-will. Now, dear friends, this applied to Israel, because this word is given to Israel of old. Now, Israel was the Lord's people. They were his chosen people, his national people, as we might say, in the flesh. They were the sons of Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Verse 15 says, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Oh, dear friends, what a blessing to be amongst those whom the Lord hath loved and chosen, that he is mindful of them. Dear friends, that's even as it is this day. The Lord has a chosen people, doesn't he? He has a people whom he will form for his praise. Dear friends, how wonderful if we've been brought and caused to come under the sound of the gospel, the sound of the mercy of God. Is the loving, redeeming love of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. The supply of all of our need. Answer to our prayers. Oh, dear friends, it was so with Israel of old, wasn't it? Many of them, all of them at this time, had been born in Egypt. They were captive. They were captive to the powers of Pharaoh, who made them serve him. And they prayed unto their God. They prayed for deliverance. They prayed to be set free. The Lord did set them free from Egypt. He began to lead them forth in the wilderness journey with Moses, who wrote this book of Deuteronomy. And here he is expounding to Israel as they draw near towards the end of their wilderness journey. Expounding to them all that has taken place. And he points out to them the evil of their hearts, a stiff-necked people. Even though the Lord had showed goodness and favours to them, they still desired their own way. At times they were left to rebel openly against God and against Moses, their appointed leader by God. They desired to return back into Egypt because they said the earthly comforts of Egypt were better than they were experiencing in Egypt, in the wilderness. Even though he had brought them through many dangers, he'd supplied them with food, the manna, which they received day by day. They'd received the water when they were thirsty. He had shielded and delivered them from enemies who rose against them. And yet they were still a stiff-necked people, determined to be ruled by their own earthly hearts, wanting their own way. And now they entered into sin, even in that encampment just before entering into the promised land. Oh, the Lord had to deal very solemnly with them with a plague because of their sin. Dear friends, if this is the case with Israel, the chosen people of God, the national people, you might say, of God, how much more with those who are all the people of God, Jews and Gentiles. We're all born, aren't we, in the same way. From a child we sin. The evidence of sin is within us. And dear friends, it never leaves us. And as we grow into young people and then into adults, sinful ways are ever in our hearts. Our own ways. Or when we neglect the word of God. The fear of God, oh, at times is not before our eyes. God is not in all of our thoughts. And we lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and we're led astray. Oh, dear friends, how solemn is our state by nature, no matter who we are. And it does us good to take heed to the word of God which testifies of us. That which we are and that which we do. Here's an exhortation, dear friends, which we all need, don't we, today? Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. All that lust of our flesh, the pride of our life, all which hinders us, that we are not humble and tender in the things of God, but we are hard and fast in our own ways. Dear friends, we must seek to be delivered from the power of an evil heart, deceitful as the scripture tells us it is, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For his good spirit to rule our hearts. For his good spirit to rule our words and our ways. That his grace may abound in every part. And teach our tongues to sing his praise. Dear friends, that's the effect of a circumcised heart. It's no longer a hard heart. It's a softened heart. Now, dear friends, it's not only just once. Oh, it's again and again. It was with Israel. It wasn't just when they were in the wilderness. It was when they actually came also to the promised land. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. After many years in the promised land, oh, the Lord had to deal solemnly with Israel and with Judah. For a time, Judah existed after Israel had been taken captive. He was the exhortation of the Lord to Judah through Jeremiah. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah. And inhabitants of Jerusalem. Why? Lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn exhortation that is. And the reason for it. Yes, the reason given was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart by Moses. But if there's a refusal that we say, oh, we desire no such thing as that. We do not want the love of the world and the strength of our own self-will to be removed from us. We want to go in our own ways and do that which is right in our sight all our days. Lest the fury then come forth like fire. And burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Dear friends, our God is a consuming fire, isn't he? The scripture tells us, Paul tells us, when he writes to Hebrews. Oh, dear friend, what a solemn day that day of judgment will be. And the hope, dear friends, of being delivered from the wrath of God occurs in this life, whilst we're here upon this earth. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's not the only prophet, Jeremiah, who exhorted the people. They're the chosen people of God. Oh, what must take place within them if they are to be delivered from his wrath to come? You can turn over, oh, and come to the prophet of Joel. And the Lord shall utter his voice, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. What an exhortation. Turn about from your own wicked ways, from your own self-determination of sin. Rend your hearts. Dear friends, what does that mean? Well, we read in another place that a broken and a contrite heart is an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. The rending of the heart, dear friends, is the confession and sorrow over our sins, over what we are by nature, and we can do nothing to save our own soul. We can do nothing to amend our hearts from the determination of sins and iniquities against God. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. But how do we come to such a point as that? Have you got the strength to do it yourself? Oh, what does Moses say again? For the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. In spite of the sins of all his people, the Lord does not forsake them. Oh, dear friends, we come here to the depth of the grace of Almighty God, who gave his only begotten Son to take the punishment instead. Oh, dear friends, how these scriptures, throughout the scriptures, testify of this wondrous, gracious love of God, who gave his only begotten Son to be made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. And therefore, dear friends, we're to take heed to this word. We don't just sit back and do nothing. Where these words, dear friends, testify of his wrath, does it make you tremble? If you're not of the Lord's people, they won't mean anything to you at all. You'll continue to desire to go in your own way. You will say, oh, I've got no interest in that. That's your stiff-necked estate, that's our state by nature. We are dead in trespasses and in sin. We've got no sense of the dreadfulness of sin and the wrath of God. But dear friends, if we're chosen of God, even though we're in such great sinful state, there'll be a pricking of our heart through his word. There'll be a testimony of it, a putting within us a fear, a trembling at the word of God. Oh, the Lord shall circumcise thine heart. He will take away that love of sinning. He will turn you to the Lord. What does Joel say? I think it's Joel who says, well, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and great kindness, but there first has to be this rending of our heart. Not our garments. Our garments is an outward act, isn't it? We may have sorrow and, oh, we may try to mend our ways in an outward way. Try to live more legally upright. But, dear friends, that won't save our souls, good that it is in its own right. That's to follow on through from the love of God. If we just go our own way and mend our own conduct in life, that will only promote our own righteousness. It won't promote the righteousness of God. Oh, don't rend your own garments. Rend your heart. That is to come broken, contrite before him. The conviction of your sin. Dear friends, do you know what it is to come there? Dear friends, we have to come there to know the mercy and the grace and the pardoning love of God. Joel says, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Who knoweth if he will return and repent? Come again for the blessing of your soul. Repent, turn about from the wrath that is due unto you because of all your sins and transgressions, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. This is Joel chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. They deserve a meditation, don't they? What is this blessing behind him? One that follows on. When the Lord hears your cries of a broken heart confessing your sins. Well, dear friends, didn't we have some hymns on it this morning? How did you sing those two hymns we've just sung? I hadn't really looked at, you know, our friend Oliver chooses them, and I add the last hymn normally to them, but quite often I don't concentrate. I do read them through sometimes, of course, but oh, as we've sung hymn 1074 this morning. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove the seal of thy eternal love. It goes on to confess, Lord, I'm sick, my sickness cure. I want, do thou enrich the poor. Lord, I am blind. Be thou my sight, Lord, I am weak. Be thou my might, helpless to cleanse oneself from one's sin. Different, is that how you felt as you sang it? Is that your need? Is that what we have here to rend your heart? That is the rending of your heart, isn't it? And that second hymn, just how sad our state by nature is, our sin, how deep it stains. But there's a voice of sovereign grace sounds from his sacred word. Oh, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And then there was the prayer of that hymn, wasn't there, we've just sung. Oh, my soul obeys the almighty call and runs to this relief. Do you know what that is? Dear friends, to turn about from your sinful self and run for, well, run to this relief. How do we run? We fall, don't we, on our knees. We plead with the Lord for pardon. Who can need it more than we? I would believe thy promise, Lord. Oh, help my unbelief. to the dear fountain of thy blood. And so he goes on, incarnate God, I flee. Stretch out thy arm, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Dear friends, when we sing these hymns, are they from a stiff-necked people, a stiff-hardened heart? Their prayers, but do the desires of our heart go with the words we say? Oh, we prove again and again, don't we? We're a stiff-necked people. But, oh, rend your heart. Come unto me, says the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Leave a blessing behind it. What's that blessing of the meat offering and the drink offering? This is his sacrifice for sin. My body is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. This is my body which is broken for you, he said to his disciples. This is my blood which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Oh, dear friends, what do those things mean to us? Not physically do we eat the body of Christ. Not physically do we drink the blood of Christ. No. But in our hearts. For Christ bore upon his own soul our sins. And our hearts are poured out before him. And that love of God to be shed abroad in our heart. It's there we partake of the dying love of Christ in the punishment of our sins. It's there we feed upon the truth. It's there we partake of that body which was broken on Calvary's cross. It's there we partake of that shed blood which was flowed from his wounds and from his head of the crown of thorns and so forth. It's the knowledge of his love imparted to us, the sacrifice for our sins. A meat offering or a drink offering, a blessing left behind him. Oh, dear friends, this is what you and I need, isn't it? This is what we need here in our earthly lives. The pardon of our sins. Dear friends, that is a circumcised heart, which has received of the love of God through the sacrifice of the shed blood of Christ, made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. It humbles us, doesn't it? We now have a humbled heart. We now have a loving heart, one that loves him more than the love of all the things of this world. Oh yes, we still have the love of the need of things of this earth whilst we're up on here. But there's something which exceeds it all. That good hope through Christ of eternal life. It's not just the Old Testament that testifies of these things, is it? Oh, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He speaks about, if ye know the truth as it is in Jesus, if so be that ye've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, dear friends, the spirit of our mind comes from our hearts, doesn't it? Our innermost desires. Now, where we've got a circumcised heart, dear friends, that will flow through into our minds, into the love of God, the love of Christ, and to walk in those ways of which he hath commanded. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. He's the unity of the church, isn't he? Circumcised hearts, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I often notice such a correlation between Paul's epistle to the Ephesians and also to the Colossians. Into the word of the Colossians, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. That word complete also means made perfect in Christ Jesus, perfect in the sight of God, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Oh, the Jews were circumcised on the eighth day with their hands, weren't they? It was a fleshly circumcision. It was a token of the covenant. The covenant given to Abraham that they would be a multitude of people and would be given that promised land, that land allocated to them by God. And it was a token. It was an evidence. It was clearly seen that they were Israel, the chosen people of God, his national people. The circumcision of the heart made without hands is in the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That love of Christ. Oh, those words of his truth which he has cried out unto his people. Oh, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And dear friends, that word is you can look at it in this way, a word sharper than a two-edged sword to cut away the evil of your heart. Oh, you've still got your own spirit, yes. You've still got your own desires, yes. You've still got to live in this life sensibly and with wisdom, yes. But there's now that strong division between what is right and what is wrong, that discerning spirit. And your desire is now to live to the honour and glory of God all your days. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, this glorious work of Christ. Oh, may it ever be our glory, dear friends. I pray it'll be the glory amongst us as a people here at Hope Chapel Stockfold. Not to glory in our own selves and our own abilities and our own achievements and that which we do in an outward form, although we must do things as the Lord would have us do. Of course we must do. Do we know what it is to be buried with him in baptism? Him bearing our sins, a testifying of it, through that witness of his spirit within us that has changed our heart, renewed our will, turned our feet to Zion's hill, and risen with him into newness of life, where old things are passed away, all things have become new. Oh, that we now seek to live to the honour and glory of our God. Oh, sin becomes exceedingly sinful, and we flee from it. And we've got no trust in our own selves, in our own flesh. Just like the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. He still had the earthly influence within him, didn't he? Dear friends, it's because of the circumcision of his heart that he knew it. That he knew it. Oh, he remained a sinner in his own flesh all his days. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, and Paul says, doesn't he? They are not Jews who are one outwardly. That word Jew there meaning the people of God, his chosen, those whom he loves. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Then, dear friends, what an exhortation this is. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Fall before him. Confess those sins. Submit to his righteousness. Desire his mercies above all other things. Jesus, the one thing needful. Without him we must perish. Dear friends, if we just sit back and carry on in our earthly lives, satisfied with the goodness and materialism and affluence and the benefits which we enjoy so much in these days, we shall come short at length, shan't we? Because under the goodness of all those things we enjoy outwardly, dear friends, there'll be our stiff-necked heart enjoying them and going after them and ruling us in all our ways. But where we plead with the Lord for pardon, where we know, oh, that his wrath is to come for all those who do not believe in Jesus, then, dear friends, we shall tremble at his word. And I trust, dear friends, we shall all know that trembling at his word. And know the promise of God, to this one will I look, to him that is poor of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And that look will be a look of love, of mercy, of grace, of long-suffering, to cleanse from all sin. And that blessing he will implant within you as a following on from the confession of your sins. That knowledge of the sacred truth as it is in Jesus, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, gave himself a sacrifice for sin, even for your sin. And you'll be able to say, oh yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Even me. Dear friends, this is the blessing, isn't it? The blessing the Lord leaves behind when you confess your sins. Then I exhort each one of you, dear friends, to look to these things. The circumcision of your heart, the cutting away from you by the influence of the Spirit, the love of this world, where we love the world more than we love Christ. All for it to be inverted, and we are made softened and tender to the truth as it is in Jesus, that he is our all and in all. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Dear friends, do pray earnestly that it will be so. Seek the Lord, that he will take away your heart of stone, as he says in one place. Give you a heart of flesh. That softened, circumcised heart that will glorify him. Amen.